RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Colorado correspondent is Scott Elias. Scott and his wife, Lorraine, have two kids, Scott, 13, and Elizabeth, 10. Though he camped as a young kid growing up in Florida, Lorraine never did. As a family, they are very new to the camping lifestyle. They purchased their first travel trailer, a Jayco Whitehawk 24 MBH, in the spring of 2016 and have already taken several short and long trips up and down the Rocky Mountains. Scott is also a former educator who now works for Apple, and Lorraine is a teacher. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Stephanie. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's so good to talk to all of our correspondents who feel
We've missed you.
I know. We get you back on. Everybody's so busy.
It's like the prodigal son.
Gosh darn it. If we're not working, we're camping around here.
Scott, where are you?
Try to squeeze in all the work and then camp all summer.
Yep, exactly. All right, Scott, so where are you taking us to this week?
I thought we'd go take a visit to Mueller State Park out here in Colorado, since I've got such a got a good track record of sharing state parks on the show.
You do, and you are not the only one that loves this state park. Carrie Cox, another correspondent, says this might be her favorite campground ever, so we're excited to hear this review. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Yogi Bear Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. Award-winning Yogi Bear Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. Water zones, mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, you name it. You'll find that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone. And with over 29 locations open year-round, you can camp at a Jellystone even in the winter months. And really, right now, you should be making those plans for next summer, for especially the holiday weekends. Get on that. From Kentucky to Texas to California to Virginia, you can enjoy year-round RVing with Camp Jellystone. Go to campjellystone.com and find a park near you.
Scott, get us situated. Where exactly in the great state of Colorado is Mueller State Park?
Yeah, so Mueller is in a little town called Divide, Colorado, which, as the name implies, is up really close to the Continental Divide, just east of the Continental Divide. It's not too far out of Colorado Springs, about 45 minutes west. And I would say, again, depending on where you are in Denver, because you could be an hour apart and still be in Denver, but I'd say about 2 hours outside of Denver. So a really reasonable within striking distance for a weekend or a long weekend trip.
I'm jealous of people from the Denver area because it seems like every campground you review is like 2 hours from Denver. It just seems like there's so many options for a weekend camping trip.
Yeah, we're spoiled. No complaints here.
Now, I'm going to skip ahead and ask a question that we usually ask a little bit further on. But this is a state park, obviously, in Colorado, and it's 2 hours outside of Denver, like you just said. So, you know, does that make booking at this park virtually impossible?
Yeah, you know, it's a common theme, I think, with all of the parks that I know that I've talked about and what I've heard on that I've heard other correspondents talk about it. You know, here it's a 6-month booking window. And if you want to go Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, you need to have your alert set on your iPhone to let you know, because you just won't get, you might get a spot, you might not get a good spot.
Why has it got to be an iPhone, Scott?
I know, I love that product.
Why has it got to be an iPhone? Maybe I have a Galaxy.
Are there other phones?
There's no other phones. I love this. I love the Apple people.
You could set the alert on your, you could set it on your Apple Watch as well.
Okay, good.
Because no other products out there have alerts.
Nope. That's the only one. All right. Scott, tell us a little bit about the size of the campground. How many sites are we battling for when we make these precious reservations?
I think this might be bigger than some of the others we've talked about. They have 134 total sites. 22 of those are walk-ins, so you've got about 112. They also have 3 cabins, so that was something else we were trying to get, but we couldn't get. I have family in Florida, and they were going to come out, and we were going to try and do it, and they would get a cabin, and it didn't pan out because the cabins sleep 4 to 8, and with only 3 of them, they're also pretty hard to get. So you have 134 sites, and they're pretty spread out on this mountainside, very wooded campground. So it's very private feeling.
If you did get one of those cabins, would it have been close to your RV site, or are they in a separate area?
Everything. You're driving or riding a bike anywhere you're going in that campground. There's not where the cabins are. There are not campsites right next to them. So you're driving or you're biking.
All right, so tell me about these electric-only sites for the winter.
Yeah, so we're right now in the winter season. So from mid-October to mid-May, not every state park has winter camping, but Mueller has winter camping, and they keep 18 of their RV sites open all winter long. So if you can get in there, you can get one of the first-come, first-serve in the winter. You can get one of the winter camping sites, and they're electric-only, but they're electric-only all year. So this is Mueller is dry camping only, and so you're going to be packing water in and visiting the dump station.
Would you do that? I mean, would you do a winter trip there?
I've never done a winter camping trip. I would think about it, but I would probably have I would be a little concerned about the drive in and out, probably.
Wise man.
Yeah, that's what we always say. It's not about the actual winter camping. It's about getting stuck with bad weather when you're there, right?
Yeah, I mean, we love winter camping too, but you shouldn't drive when the road conditions aren't good. Give us the visual sense of the campground. I mean, what are you looking at? What is the what are the views?
Yeah, so depending on where you are situated, we were on a loop that had just some beautiful views of Pikes Peak. So you're sitting on your little camp patio and your camp chairs, and you're having your coffee, and you're staring out across a valley, looking right up at Pikes Peak. So on one side of the park, it's great views into the mountains. The other side, kind of on the other side of the street, it becomes a little bit more wooded. But everything is very densely forested. So it's just, even though you're not too far away from your neighbor, it feels like you're kind of out there on your own, which is great.
So are there both back-ins and pull-throughs, depending on where you are in the campground?
Yep, something for everyone. And I should have checked this, but I think this is also one of those sites, one of those campgrounds like Cheyenne Mountain, where you can actually go on and look at every spot. But I did. This is one that I definitely Google Earthed to pick out a spot because I wanted that view of Pikes Peak. And if you do enough homework, I'm not going to spill the beans because you have to work for it a little bit. But if you do enough homework, you can find the handful of sites that have the unobstructed view of Pikes Peak.
Ooh, good. And I hope you send us some pictures with that unobstructed view.
For sure. And so they do have a good mix of pull-throughs. We actually had a pull-through, and then there were some back-ends, kind of around that loop. So a good mix. The larger sites tend to be pull-through. If you've got a smaller, a shorter trailer or a pop-up, the back-ends are perfect.
Now, did you do a pull-through or a back-end?
We did a pull-through.
And how much are we paying to stay here?
You're paying for an electric site. You're paying all of $26. If you can go with a tent site, they're $20.
I love that it's only $6 more for an RV site. So in the East Coast, it's not that way. It's like double the price.
Millions of dollars more in comfort, but only $6
We stayed in our. I was sharing with you earlier. We stayed in our first Jellystone this summer, and we paid as much for one night in a Jellystone. Great campground, but it's just such a difference when you go to a state park because you're paying. We paid as much for 3 nights in a state park as you do for one night in a Jellystone. You're not getting the amenities; it's just a different experience. But it was just really it was kind of eye opening when we did our first private campground.
Oh yeah, it's a whole different economy.
A lot of the private campgrounds don't like that fact that it is just so cheap to camp at the state parks.
You know, and again, it's all about the audience. If you have younger kids, and that's one of the things I think we'll talk a little bit about with Mueller, but if you have younger kids, this may or may not be a place that you want to go. And I do want to add, on top of the 26 per night, you need a daily state park pass, and that will run you $7 a day. Or if you live in or close to Colorado, you can get the annual for $70. And for seniors, it is $60, and you have to be a Colorado resident, 64 or over. So that's none of us on this podcast.
Not yet. Now, Scott, is the $7 per car or is it per person?
That's per car.
Okay. All right.
And I'm imagining that you're an annual pass holder.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we have a couple state parks within driving distance of us that will take the kayaks and the paddle boards over, even if we're not camping. So it's totally worth it for us to just do the $70.
All right. Now, we know that this is not a Jellystone. So what kind of amenities are we looking at here?
There are some good ones.
Yeah, typical, typical Colorado State Park amenities. You've got a nice visitor center with some Colorado history, wildlife kinds of exhibits, coin showers, very clean showers and laundry and restrooms with flush toilets. In the summer, there are, I mentioned it's dry camping, but around the loop, there are, what do they call them, spigots or hydrants, where you can fill up your tanks if you have a long enough hose, or you can, we would fill up like these 2.5 gallon bottles with a filter on them for drinking water. So you can access water on your loop. You just will not have water at your site. They have a playground. The visitor center looked pretty new, and there's a playground close by. And I will tell you, this was one of the things we loved about Mueller, is it was, we called it like national park level ranger talks. I mean, there was a raptor talk one of the nights we were there. During one of the days, they had Colorado Outdoors came out and did an archery lesson for all ages. So all four of us had a blast. We were just going to let the kids do it. And then we ended up getting into it too. And the kids really, we ended up bringing that home actually, and found a place near us that had archery lessons. So our kids kind of got into that for a little bit this summer. So a lot to do. Great ranger talks.
I love it when the state parks crank it up to that sort of national park level. I mean, it reminds me of like Nickerson State Park in Massachusetts, Steph.
Yeah, and down in South Carolina, I'm always giving them a shout out for their state parks too, because they do the same
and
thing.
The county parks.
Yeah, just like they really, those talks make it just a world of difference.
In a sense, this is almost sounds like an ideal type of campground if you're into the state park model, right? I mean, does it get much better than this, Scott?
Yeah, this is all about the outdoors. I mean, it is you're on the side of a mountain in the forest. Most of the people that are there to hike. There's some mountain bike trails, and they also have winter activities as well. It's funny, I went on the site today, and because we've just been so warm and dry, they are not yet opening the trails for cross country skiing or snowshoeing yet, and the sledding hill is dry. So we desperately need some snow out here. But in the winter, they have a lot of winter activities as well.
Last spring, weren't you Colorado folks like dying for the snow to end, if I remember correctly? Didn't it just keep snowing?
Yes, it just wouldn't stop. And now we're paying for that now because it's just been so dry. I had to get out and water the trees over the weekend because it's been so warm and dry.
So you're 2 hours away from Denver, but you're also out there in the mountains. So talk to me about my connectivity. Can I use my iPhone or my Apple Watch?
If it's an iPhone, probably another brand, you're on your own. It's kind of a typical mountain camping experience, depending on what loop you're on. If you stand on one foot and put a finger in the air holding a piece of tinfoil, you might get a couple of text messages out. We found that if we got to some of the higher spots, we could put out an Instagram post or text some people. But I would not say that there is reliable cell coverage. You can certainly get it if you're willing to bike or drive to a spot that has better coverage.
I love the image of like somebody, maybe Scott or somebody else, hiking up to the top of the mountain to do an Instagram post, which is, I'll be honest, something that I would do.
Oh, absolutely. I remember standing in the Pacific Northwest in some places just begging something to load. Please go up. All right. Now, anything that you can tell people to just give them a little bit of that insider scoop when they're planning a trip to Mueller State Park?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's interesting about Mueller, and when we left, we had a great experience, and it was like, what was so different about it than other parks? Because it did feel kind of different. And one of the things to be aware of is there really is no water in the park, as in water to do water activities. So if you are heavy into kayaking, paddleboarding, those kinds of things, that is just, there is no water like that in the park. So it's just a different kind of experience. Like when we went to Kurt Gowdy in Wyoming, that is all about the water. You're camping on the water, you're in the water all day. So here you really need to be ready to get out and do, you know, hiking, biking, those kinds of things. Another one, if you travel with pets, this is because of the wildlife presence in the park. Pets are not allowed on any of the trails. There was no shortage of pets in the park, but you cannot bring them on the hiking trail. So you can walk them on the road. This past summer, they did one trail experimentally where they were allowing dogs during certain days and times. So it'll be interesting to see how that panned out. But as a rule, there are no dogs allowed, no pets allowed on the trails in the park.
Okay, Scott, this place sounds pretty ideal to me in so many ways, but we know that nobody's perfect here at Campground of the Week. So what would you like to see them improve?
I don't know that they could really improve it as much, but one of the things also is this is really important when you're booking to look at that site map, and this is where the Google Earth piece came really into focus for us. The sites are on, most of the sites are on loops, but they have a good number of sites that are on that kind of the main road. If you can imagine a main road going into the park and then off each side, you have these loops. There are also campsites along the main road. I would not want one of those. Some of them had great views, but with kids or dogs, I would not want one of those campsites on the main road because you're just going to have people driving back and forth all day long. So just kind of look at that map. The further off the main road you get, the more secluded you're going to feel.
All right, Scott, thank you so much for that great review of Mueller State Park in Colorado. Now we are going to take a break for a second, and then Scott is going to tell us all about the things that we can do in the area. But first, we just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Jayco. Top line comforts are sure to satisfy the entire family in the most diverse lineup of Eagle travel trailers and fifth wheels to date. Lavish finishes, a wide array of options, and premium standard features let you go seamlessly from exploration to relaxation with the flexibility to meet every demand in between. All with Jayco's 2-year limited warranty to follow you along the way. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. All right, Scott, you ready to set our itinerary for us?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, what are we going to do when we're visiting this place?
So the main reason we were there was because my daughter is a fanatic for all things wolf-related. Actually, any wild canine, wolf, fox, coyote, you name it, and she's a fanatic. So her birthday's in March, so we didn't go in March. But part of her birthday gift was getting up close and personal with a fox at the Colorado Wolf and Wildlife Center, which is a nonprofit. It's about 15 minutes outside of the campground. And it is just an amazing experience. They have wolves that they are rehabilitating. They have foxes that they are rehabilitating. Adults can get kind of a wolf experience. If you go, you know, you get, you know, 20 minutes with a wolf, you get to pet and feed, and they're taking pictures of you while all that's happening. And then there is just a wealth of information about wolf preservation and kind of the history of wolves in the Northern Rockies. So well worth it. She was in wolf heaven the entire time we were there. If that is something that is on your itinerary, and I think I connected with Carrie about this because they went out about 2 weeks after we did. If that is something that's on your itinerary, you do have to make a reservation. So it's reservations only to get on the tour. But I would say if that is even remotely interesting to you for the family, it is well worth it.
That's such an amazing birthday present. So did she get did she get one-on-one time with a fox?
Yeah, it was my daughter and son, and then another two kids that were in there, and then they had two little foxes. You know, if they're under 18, they can't go into with the wolves because they don't want them to get, you know, eaten up. But they're docile. They're docile. They're not tame, but they're docile. But the foxes, they're just so mischievous. It was just adorable to watch these two little foxes interact with these four kids. And then they let you feed them, which I have to say, my daughter was, and she's 10 and she was much braver than me. And they were handing them frozen mice, like a mouse sickle.
Oh, gross.
I know. Letting them feed the foxes.
No, I would not touch a frozen mouse. I just got full body shivers.
It was funny because my wife and I were up on this like overlook, watching them all down there interact with the fox. And I'm like, she's not going to touch it. sure enough, she grabs the mouse sickle and she's anything for foxes or wolves, she'll do it.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying to do this.
By the way, there's a book out now that's getting great reviews that tracks the wolves in Yellowstone, or like a certain wolf. It actually tracks their survival. We'll have to link to that in the show notes. It's getting rave reviews. Maybe your daughter would like to read it.
Oh yeah,
I imagine she's a reader like you.
Yeah, right in time for the holidays, too. So that'll be we'll have to put that under the tree.
Absolutely. Okay, so you talked about wanting to have views of Pike's Peak, but take us closer.
Yeah, and we also mentioned this, I think, when we talked about Cheyenne Mountain. But, you know, being only 40 minutes outside of Colorado Springs, you're about 45 minutes from everything Pike's Peak. And Pike's Peak, as you know, you can drive up to the top. You can take the Cog Railway. So you're well under an hour. And in terms of access to being able to go and summit Pike's Peak.
And did we do that?
We did not. I've done it. We've actually never done it with the family. I did it as a kid when we went out on a road trip. It's just a lot of twisty, turny driving, and it's just so crowded up at the top sometimes, depending on when you go.
Okay.
It's a big time commitment. It's awesome if you've never done it, but it's a big time commitment.
It's like a full day thing. Like if you're camping for a weekend, it's like a day is gone, basically.
Yeah, and it wasn't on our list. And you know, this is one of the great things about Mueller is it really is just one of those parks where just relaxing and doing nothing is the best amenity that they have.
All right, so tell us about Royal Gorge.
Yeah, Royal Gorge is a pretty well-known spot in Colorado. It's about an hour from Mueller, and they have a pretty famous suspension bridge over the gorge that you can walk over. It's also not too far from a narrow gauge railway that they have close by, and the suspension bridge is open all year. So even if you find yourself in the area in the winter, it is gorgeous, and you can get to walk out over the suspension bridge over the Royal Gorge, and it is crazy high. And I linked to it so you can look at some of the pictures. It is just breathtaking, the views from that thing.
And sounds like a good place for the photographer, right?
Absolutely. If you get there at the right time of the day and the light is right, it's just beautiful.
Now, kids love wolves and stuff, but kids also love fossils, and that.
And Stephanie and I love national monuments.
Who doesn't love a fossil, really? Yeah, you're also about 20 minutes away from the Florissant Fossil Beds National Monument. And, you know, that is, we did not get to do that on this trip, but it is very accessible. So when we get down to that area again, it's going to be on our list. But a lot of hiking, petrified trees, things like that. And like a lot of the sites down in southern Colorado that are pretty removed from the city, because there's mountains between you and some of the bigger cities, they have some awesome night programs in the summer where you can go and do some stargazing and star watching and things like that. So that is a great place to do that, as well as I think we talked before about Great Sand Dunes National Park is also pretty well known for those kind of nighttime stargazing opportunities. So anywhere in southern Colorado, when you get on the other side of the divide and you've got the city lights blocked by the mountains, it's just beautiful night skies.
You know, it's really important for anybody listening. I will tell you that Scott has done some great campgrounds sort of all within like almost like, you know, rock skipping distance of each other. Like if you're planning a extended
Colorado trip.
Yeah, I will definitely make sure to link to some of these other places that he's mentioned in this episode. If you're
That's a good point. It could make a two-week trip.
Yeah.
Somebody could do a two-week trip based on some of your campground reviews.
So that's all over there at rvfta.com now. So I will make sure that all of those things are linked because he's basically giving us this really long itinerary tour of Colorado in a lot of these reviews, you know. They're linked together.
He is Colorado.
He is Colorado. Scott's Colorado. All right.
I think he's drinking a craft beer right
now. He probably
is. sipping a fat tire as we speak.
And by the way, if you're one of those rare birds that only listens to Campground of the Week and never hops over to RV Family Travel Atlas, Scott did an awesome craft beer episode for us last spring, right, Stephanie?
Yes, still. It's
still getting email about that.
Yep, people still love it. All right, well, Scott, thank you so much for telling us all about Mueller State Park out there, about 2 hours outside of Denver, Colorado. And thank you also to Progressive Insurance. You can get the perfect amount of coverage wherever you roam around the United States with packages available for seasonal use and for full-timers. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
Scott, thank you so much.
We'll see you at the campground.
Hopefully we'll see you in a campground in Colorado.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you. Hope to have you back soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.